So it's Trinity Sunday. Happy Trinity Sunday. We finished the Easter season and we begin the long green season, which is the season of the Spirit at work in the world. And what we're going to think about today is the intimacy of God within the Godhead, with you and me and the whole creation. It is all about love. In Andrei Rublev's icon of the Holy Trinity, we are in the presence of God, but do not see God. The icon refers to the Genesis story where the angels, three angels, visit Abraham and Sarah, and they provide a meal for them. Sarah is without child. They've been trying for a long time, no success. And so their heart's desire is to have a child so that their lineage may continue. And of course, out of this visit, that happens. The three angels announce good news to Abraham and Sarah that they will soon have a son. And the three angels represent the three identities of our one God: God the Father, the Creator; God the Son, the Redeemer; and God the Holy Spirit, the Empowerer. The three are identical in the icon. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a stunning icon. They look identical, but they wear different apparel. The Father on the left, the Son in the middle, and the Holy Spirit on the right side. The three have a staff of blessing, and there's one chalice before them on an altar. At the center of the table, at the bottom of the table, there is like this little rectangular opening, which stands for the cosmos, an opening for all to partake. All are welcome at this table. It is not just for the three expressions of God, but for everybody. It is an intimate feast. Looking at the icon, one is drawn by the loving gaze of these three persons, of God inviting us to join the table, the feast, the communion, the celebration of new life too. The intimacy of God within the Godhead. So it's like us having a loving relationship, mind, body, and soul within ourselves, which is often a struggle. Within you and me and the whole creation. When we, the Montgomerys, would fly in August, oh boy, here we go, to Sarasota, Florida, to be with my family, my mom and dad, my brother Craig and sister-in-law Catherine, for a week of summer vacation, it was always an exciting time. Our children were young. Lonnie did this. She and I, when we didn't have children, this is what we would do. Sarasota was nice. They had a pool. They weren't far from the beach. It was like heaven. They would pick us up at the Sarasota airport. Remember those days, Lonnie? You know, we could actually fly into Sarasota. Now we go into Tampa. Wow, what a hardship. And then they would drive us to their home, which had the pool. It was always fun to see our children, when we had children, excitedly greet their grandparents, because they'd only see them a couple times during the year. And for us also to see mom and dad in the flesh. They would call us every week. They had this routine of, what time was it, Lonnie? 9 o'clock on Sunday? 9 o'clock every Sunday, the phone was gonna ring. And not that we better answer it, but it was for our own goodwill that we answer the phone. But it was not a, what are you doing? It was more of, what's going on in your life? It became an intimate conversation of checking in with each other, what's going on with our lives. They would see how everyone was doing and sometimes give us advice. We tried to not tell them the things that they needed advice to give us advice on, but anyway. Our first dinner together, this is my point I'm getting to, was always not in a restaurant, but at home. And my father would offer the prayer, and that's what I want to talk to. My dad, who was a pretty controlled person in terms of expressing his emotions, would pray to God how wonderful it was to have family together. His voice would crack. He would get choked up. He would hesitate. He'd clear his throat and with emotion express deep gratitude for our being together again. So in a similar way, it is with deep gratitude today that I give thanks for you at this table we gather together. For your being here as we gather at this sacred meal one more time to receive the presence of Christ in bread and wine, but also in the flesh of companionship, of our trying to be family too. How blessed and how fortunate I have been and Lonnie has been. I'm going to give you the whole family. And Colin and Kirsten and Karen have been. And Mark and John and Lori and Tyler and Harper and Ellie have been to have you as a spiritual family. How blessed, not just me, but the whole family has been. In the intimacy of God within the head, the Godhead, and with you and me and the whole creation. This is the essence of religion right here. Any religion which is about hate is not of God. It is of the devil. God is about bringing things together in harmony together. And that is the essence of what God is about. In this morning's gospel reading from St. John, Jesus is choked up. I have so many things to say to you, but I can't bear them now. He's choked up. The Spirit will guide you into all truth and declare it to you when I'm gone. In the book of Proverbs, we hear that human beings are created at the beginning of creation. So much for evolution. So it's like in the beginning, God created human beings and then all the others of the light and all this stuff. So it's a little off. Before the depths, before the springs, before the mountains, the earth, the hills, the heavens, the sky, the sea, the foundations were created. Human beings were created first. Well, who cares? We were created at some point. Humans were viewed as being beside God. That is the point, the intimacy of God with us, that God would be with us in the process of God's handiwork and creation. We'd be in the workshop with God. While the science is off, the theological truth is right on. Humanity was and is God's daily delight. You are God's delight. And humanity at our best rejoices before God, always rejoices in God's inhabited world. The intimacy of God within the Godhead with you, me, and the whole creation. When I go on retreat, when I went on retreat in May at the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I came with lots of thanksgivings and prayers. But all, most of all, I came wondering what God had in store for me and my future and for you and your future as we both move into the unknown. It is my custom to pray nothing more than for the assigned readings for the daily offices, morning prayer, noonday prayers, evening prayer, and compline. And I only concentrate on those readings. I also try to be attentive to what unexpected thing might pop up, like a hymn in a service that just like moves me. And then I kind of look at those words again and again. Or a sermon or a psalm that is shared. Or looking at people who are either guests or the monks and looking at them as human beings coming for God. Or perhaps a book selection that they read at lunch, which we do in silence, but we listen. Or perhaps the wisdom of my spiritual director, Brother Jonathan Morey. But most of all, I like to walk on the sidewalk that follows the Charles River. The monastery is right on in Harvard section of on the Charles River, and I call it walking the river. You can walk on both sides, and there's a bridge that gets to the other side. So this is what I saw on my walk. First time I walked, I was fascinated seeing a painter with three easels along by the Charles River. And the easels were in different locations, perhaps looking at the same picture from different angles, because they were all in the same area, just one was far, one was a little nearer, and one was right up close. Secondly, I saw several mom and pop geese with lots of goslings walking all over the place seeking food. And the only danger of that was that they were often getting near the street, because I mean the sidewalk is right next to the street, but they seemed to know not to go in to be killed Third, I saw Boston University graduates dressed in beautiful red gowns, posing for pictures. It was commencement day. They were on the lawn all over the campus getting pictures, mug shots. They were mugging and posing together of somewhere on the sign that says Boston University. They'd climbed on top and they were had their arms around each other. Do you remember those times? Do you remember when you were that age? Fourth, as I climbed the steps to walk across the Long Bridge to MIT, I saw a blue heron by the side of the river. And as you know, the blue heron for me has been a symbol of God since I was 5 years old in northern Michigan. And last year, at the age of 68, I saw a blue heron 100 feet from our house in the Middlebrook fishing. For me, the blue heron is a symbol of God, that God wondrously, elegantly, yet vulnerably shows up to say, I'm with you, fishing for you, wherever you go. I am with you. Fifth, I always like to walk across there's a walking bridge in Harvard where often you walk back and forth and people get pictures. I call it the lover's bridge because you often have a boyfriend and girlfriend put their arm around each other and they either do a selfie or get somebody to do that. I view it as a connecting bridge where God's power of beauty, romance, and wooing is palpably present. Do you remember those days when somebody loved you so much that you went to a beautiful place and you wanted to get a picture of each other? That is how God feels about us. Sixth, when I arrived back at the monastery to join the monks for evensong, I sat next to the retired presiding bishop, Frank Griswold. It was a beautiful service. In many ways, the sung chant of the brothers, the descant sung on the closing hymn of How Firm a Foundation, and the sung Alleluia dismissal were absolutely beautiful. It was a taste of heaven. After dinner, I got a chance, even though we're in silence, to talk to presiding bishop Griswold briefly. He remembered me and always remembers me because I was the curate to Herb Rowe. And Herb Rowe was the rector that I learned how to be a priest from. And this was in the Diocese of Pennsylvania. It reminded me how God has blessed me and blessed us well over the years with special people. Who are the special people of your lives that touched you in profound ways? That if they had not done that, you would not be who you are today. Herb being one of the many that formed me and shaped me and loved me into being. He showed me how to be a priest. When I prayed that evening, I wondered, what did all that I had experienced mean for me and for you? It became clear to me that it meant, first and foremost, that God is on the loose. That if you have any question that there is no God, God is on the loose looking for us. It's just a matter of our looking back and seeing, providing beautiful glimpses of the creation. It's as if God, the Creator, is painting these things we experience for us to take in and ponder and live out. There's a reason we get connected with these things in our life. There's some reason that, whoa, that sticks out. Look at that. Look at the two of them holding hands there. There's something working in us to just notice that. Secondly, I realized that the Creator was at work with new life all around, the goslings, the flowering trees, the graduates showing off their best as they celebrated commencement. It reinforced that God is present whenever and wherever we go. God is not distant, but present, actively wooing us, inviting us to stop and revel. A creation and creator from all different angles. It means that on the walking bridge of our lives, God wants not just a picture of us on the bridge, but wants to be with you and me in a love relationship. And get over the male-to-male thing. God is more than male. It's not like me and my buddy here. God is beyond gender. God wants an intimate relationship with us. A graduation relationship. as our commencement day nears. A day when I'm not retiring from life or ministry, but rather doing it all in a new and hopefully exciting way. As I begin and we begin a new chapter in life of loving with God, who will be with us in the future is no question. Wherever we go, for me and Lonnie, our children and grandchildren, for you and your loved ones, with friends and past parishioners and parishioners, doing a new thing, a new ministry of seeing that the beautiful things that God has in store for you and for me and for us, the intimacy of God within the gathered, with you and me and the whole creation. On this Trinity Sunday, we all are invited to give thanks to God, to be drawn to the loving gaze of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, inviting us to join the table for the feast, the communion, the celebration too. After all, it's commencement day for you and for me, a new beginning for us all to receive God's love and then be God's love, bringing forth the kingdom of God, God's reign of peace and love and justice for all. In the name of our loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers for people today, page 392. Prayers for people, 4 and 6. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, page 392.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Chip, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. I give your prayers for those in need.
We pray that spirit might pass and shoot.
We pray that God's love might be born into our hearts. We pray that we might live into being God's joy as God's master work.
We pray for our president, Donald, for our governor, Phil, for our local officials.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
For all the blessings of this life, we give thanks.
We give thanks for the Holy Trinity.
We give thanks for our fathers.
We give thanks for the shared ministry.
we give your thanksgivings.
We give thanks for the Eucharist, for the table which we're invited to be with God.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
Especially those remembered in our leaflet today. George Martin Rose, for Florence and Randall Taylor, and I beg your prayers for the party. Covert.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon us.
Let your justice be. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, for our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. Thank you. Thank you.